Well, good evening, or good morning, or good day, people. It is Stunt Granny Audio 517. I am Jeremy Mays, and joining me this week is Mr. Chris Calamita. What's going on, man?
Not a heck of a lot there, Jeremy. How about yourself?
Oh, it's been one of those days here. So, you know, Kevin was supposed to come in, but they decided to stay another night, so we're doing lunch tomorrow on the way back, which is fine, because I'll be home. Due to the fact we woke up with a tree limb through the back window of our car.
Oh, man.
And not just the window, it went all the way through to the trunk.
Oh.
Yep. So, yeah. Perfect thing to see at 6:30 in the morning. So.
How bad was the wind last night?
We had a storm at 8, 9 o'clock. No, it was earlier than that. And by 9 o'clock, it was clear. Because Elise was at the mall, so she came back, and the storm was way, way past. So we have no idea. We have no idea why it happened. Other than the trees suck. If I could, I'd just burn both of them down. So, we just got one taken down. I know this is really interesting, but we just got one taken down. And these are like 60-year-old oak trees. And it cost us $2,300. Yeah. So we take down that tree that was dropping limbs all over the place, and the one that's alive, I guess, decided to spear our car. So, cool. Lesson to be learned, everyone. If you have trees in your yard, tear them down. Just pave it all. It's a lot easier. Build a pool. Get some enjoyment out of it. So, but yeah, so that's it on my end. Anything new going on with you?
Nothing that crazy, certainly.
Alright, yep. Yeah, so let's get into some wrestling. To hell with it. I haven't talked wrestling in a long time. But, well, at least not on the podcast, at least. We were recording this right after SmackDown ended on the East Coast. I'm actually surprised you weren't at the show.
Well, my friends I usually go with are either at work or on vacation.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, nothing. Yeah, I really didn't have anyone to go with. Have not been all that excited about the WWE television product either. Mm-hmm. to pay to go to a show at this point. So, no, just did not end up at SmackDown.
Yeah, man, I'm with you. It was the last time WWE was here a few months ago, and I didn't go. And all of a sudden they go, yeah, we're live from Charlotte, North Carolina. I was like, huh? Oh, yeah, that's right. We decided not to do that show. And that was when it was like, it's a slippery thing to say, but WWE's gotten better. But when the scale was tipped so far one way, like better doesn't exactly mean it's back. But I'm like, no, we're not doing this stuff. Like, I'm not giving them money, this and this. And then they announced at, I think it was Raw that was here. Just, I'm not sure, whatever one. That Clash of Champions is going to be there. So we bought Clash of Champions tickets the next day.
Yeah, no.
So
pay-per-views have still been largely good. I would go to a pay-per-view.
Well, with the absence of Baron Corbin lately, yeah. I mean, everything's looking up, to be honest. So, you know, I don't know. Hopefully, I'm hoping that they get this run going, and especially with some of the stuff they're setting up. But the thing is, correct me on this, Clash of Champions is only championship matches, right? Or have they
that was
had
the gimmick. Yeah, that was the gimmick before, but I think they loosened up on it. They didn't even have a Clash of Champions last year, so wow. Yeah, I think that they loosened up on it being only championship matches. Although every championship is supposed to be defended, and right now there's one. 9 of them.
Holy shit.
10 of them.
So I guess 205 will be on there. The pre-show, of course. Both tag team titles. Intercontinental US. The two main. The two women. The women tag team. Am I missing anything?
Nope, that's it.
Alright, so that's 10 titles. Well, I guess 11 with the 24/7 title. So, yeah, I know we said we were going to talk about Rowan and all the end of SmackDown, but where are you at with the 24/7 title?
still entertained. You know, so they're still coming up with fun scenarios for it. I mean, nothing. I wonder if they're running out of stuff for it, but no, I'm still good with it. I mean, R-Truth and Drake Maverick and even Mike and Maria are selling the hell out of it. So no, I mean I'm still good with it. What about you?
Sometimes I don't like it. Some like this week, as soon as they were at the OBGYN, I just turned to Lisa and was like, "Someone's." I said it was gonna be Drake Maverick. I go, because he put it on his tweet, he doesn't mind pinning a pregnant woman. He's like, oh, you don't think someone will pin a pregnant woman? I'll do it. So I was pleasantly surprised when it was actually Mike Kanellis. And then, of course, R-Truth, but I know it's a 24/7 title, but it could be called a roll-up title, for Christ's sake. I mean, it gets a little obnoxious to me that everything is a roll-up. And I don't like roll-ups anyways. I mean, especially if the other person has been getting their ass handed to them all match, and all of a sudden just roll somebody up where you just look and go, just lift your shoulder. Like, just sloppy stuff like that. So I like that. The only thing I don't like coming out of this is it just seems like an excuse for Maria Kanellis. That was the name of my dog. Maria to just start yelling at Mike Kanellis next week again. Which is not something I find pleasant on WWE TV. So, but other than that, yeah, it's fine. So, now to get us back on track, what we were going to originally talk about, what did you think of the end of SmackDown?
You know what? I liked how they did it. I thought, because if you really think about it, they actually created a mystery, and I don't know if everything was on purpose. Like, I guess it had to have been, but they created a mystery and threw little clues at you. And this is even ignoring if you actually heard the Meltzer report on what Roman Reigns' match at SummerSlam was supposed to be, even though I don't even know if that's what's still going to happen or not. You know, it made sense. You saw Buddy Murphy backstage. And someone did post something earlier about if you freeze frame it, you see Rowan walking away from the scene in a hoodie.
Yeah, I saw that picture myself, yeah.
So yeah, no, I mean I like that. It made what didn't make sense, I guess, was when Rowan was walking away last week, Buddy Murphy was walking in front of him. Why didn't Roman Reigns jump him then?
What do you mean, when he was walking away from...
Yeah. You remember that, you know, Roman Reigns, when he was walking off the scene, Buddy Murphy was in front of Roman Reigns. We saw that.
Wait, do you mean when the scaffolding fell on him?
Yeah, when the scaffolding fell on him, yeah.
Well, the only way you can look at it that way is he had no idea what was going on. So,
yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Like, now, he's like, it's all after-the-fact sort of stuff. Because remember, they were blaming Joe for it. And,
right.
And then the original rumor that it was going to be Buddy Murphy. Because, I mean, frankly, he's been pissed away since leaving 205 Live.
Yeah.
This is the most screen time that guy's gotten, and he got his ass handed to him.
I mean, that's where I said it. I don't know if it was all planned. Maybe he was just walking in the shot accidentally. Who knows?
That's true. I don't know. It seems like with this one, there's something. Somebody's got their hands on this. And it almost seems like, I don't know if Bischoff's working storylines or not yet. But remember, he's also the guy that came up with the limo stuff, which hilariously got paid off later, but no one remembers. So it almost seems like one of his things. I don't know. But
yeah,
you're right. I mean, they had the mystery and then brought it out. So now, well, I guess sort of brought it out. Now we have to get confirmation because, you know, Rowan could just be like, I was walking by. Like, me in a black sweatshirt? Not a surprise.
Yeah, it feels like there's more chapters and more layers to the story to come. and SummerSlam's on Sunday, so I'm not even sure if it's if this could really lead to a match yet.
Yeah.
Or if it should. But there's no way Roman Reigns isn't going to be on the show. So, who knows how they're going to do this? I guess you could just do Roman Reigns versus Rowan in a singles match, so that you don't do anything with him and Daniel Bryan, and you don't do the full Samoa Joe face turn to be Roman Reigns' partner yet.
Yeah. Okay. The Samoa Joe stuff has been weird to me. And I know, like, they're, on Monday they were breaking, like, you know, well, this is real, that sort of stuff. But the Joe stuff's weird because, first, I love Joe. I mean, everything he does is believable, and he looks scary as hell. I will repeat that as a compliment over and over. Everyone chants Joe, when he comes out. Doesn't really boo him all that much, but yet he's still the... And then he even tries to get the crowd on against him, and people, then they kind of start booing. It's like, okay, so I guess turning him face, you know, isn't that bad of an idea, but it's almost like you're not really turning him all that much. You're just finally giving the crowd, like, the permission to cheer. And then adding him with, like, I know Shahid'll roll his eyes if he hears this, but, like, putting him with bland-ass Roman, like, I don't know, is that supposed to help Roman out? Bring some more personality out in the guy? Because, did you see Hobbs and Shaw, by the way?
No, I have not, no.
All right. See, Roman's convinced that Reigns has presence, and that's why he was in that movie. And I tried telling him, like, I'd like to hear a non-wrestling person's opinion of that, because he is carefully placed in every single shot in that movie. He doesn't talk at all, but he's every important shot in the movie, there he is. So, now, a little spoiler for you. But, so I'm not sure, like, I guess I got two thoughts in my head, so I keep stalling myself out. So, Roman's supposed to be the big face of this company, right?
Yeah.
And they're going to put him in a tag team match? Like, or a tag team with Joe? Like, wait, is this going to be permanent, or is this going to be like the Super Samoan Friends? Like, the guy that finally takes Joe into underneath the Samoan wrestling arm, you know? And if so, isn't that kind of a weird thing to do for Roman?
It is weird, but it's been said that Roman still is on his chemo medication. He still tires very easily. He's, you know, they're being very judicial with when he has longer matches. And so I guess putting him a tag team for now, and plus they don't want to get back to shoving him down people's throats. So he's been back for almost 6 months now, and it's and we're still, you know, he hasn't made a move towards a singles title yet, let alone one of the big ones.
See, I didn't hear anything about him still being on his, like, chemo meds and all that stuff. If that's the case, sit his ass down. That seems unfair and, honestly, unnecessary. I mean, to be completely honest, if you're still doing your chemo meds and all that stuff, and I have not had to go through any of this, so I could be speaking on my ass right now, okay? You're not working. I mean, doesn't even depend on what you're doing. You're not. I don't think you'd be working. Wouldn't you be that exhausted to even be able to, like, work or work efficiently or however you want to put it? And then here we got this guy. Yeah, sorry. It just that makes no sense. I hope that's not true. Is he a guy doing a physical activity like this and he's on chemo meds? Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I mean, I do think that it's said he's not 100% yet, and I guess he's on some kind of medication.
Okay.
It might not be the full chemo meds, but he still takes medication.
Well, I know when my mom had breast cancer that was, like, she still had to take some for, I think 5 years. There were two different medicines, and she would have to be take like she had to take the one for like 5 years. So maybe that's what he's on. And then and with that, yeah, you can. I know you can. Not ration. What the hell word am I looking for here? You can basically work it through, you know, and it doesn't have to be, you know, it's not life threatening. You can work through it with your doctor's care and all that sort of stuff, and then, you know, go about your normal life basically. Of course, she's retired, so her normal life was, you know, doing whatever. So, not wrestling, traveling, doing all this stuff, PR, press, you know, stuff that will just exhaust you. So anyways, sorry to go off on that one, but that just struck me as really stupid if true. So what are your thoughts on a Joe and Roman tag team? Sorry about that.
That's all right. I like the idea of the Super Samoan team to for both of them to do. I mean, just as you said, Joe gets cheered anyway, so might as well be a babyface. You know, it gives Roman Reigns something, you know, important, but still below the title level to do. You know, Brian and Rowan get something to do, although it's so weird. I'm still not sure about that. I have no idea why the New Day needed another tag team title run. I guess they're using it as the excuse for Daniel Bryan going all the way over the edge to, you know, murder. But, yeah, And where the hell has Heavy Machinery been?
They were in the locker room sitting around Buddy Murphy.
Yeah. I forgot that.
Yeah. I'm with you, though, because I was raving, and I wasn't the only one. I was raving about that tag match they had with Roman and Daniel Bryan. I mean, no one saw that coming from them. So they get rewarded by sitting their ass down? Like, well, wait. I don't know. It seems like they're trying to streamline things, and they were one of the people that got cut off. Like, I still don't understand why the Street Profits are up.
Yeah, I still don't understand the whole purpose of that. I mean, they just won the NXT Tag Team titles. And they're having their first actual, you know, major title defense just this Saturday, unless they're going to lose it. Which they might very well, because if the whole gimmick is Undisputed Era going for the clean sweep of all the championships.
Yeah.
You know, then maybe Wiley, Fish, and Strong will all win their matches.
Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit, because I definitely want to talk some TakeOver, because I'm finally going to be home for a TakeOver. It's been months. Like, I'm purposely not going out. I mean, not doing anything, but making sure I watch it live for a change. Because I honestly cannot remember the last time I saw a TakeOver live, besides being at one. So, but yeah, I'm with you on that. So, but like I said, we'll hold off on this for a little bit. But as it comes to Heavy Machinery, though, I don't understand why they're not being used or where they're at, unless they're just being used for like when. Because what would they say? Is it September for Fox for SmackDown?
October, first Friday in October.
Okay, and then apparently, like, they haven't mentioned Wild Card in how long? 4 weeks.
They haven't mentioned it, but it's obviously still going on.
Well, in a sense, you've got people going from show to show where I don't even know what show they're on anymore.
No. And I guess come October they're gonna enforce a hard brand split again without doing another draft.
Well, yeah, I guess it would be, hey, we already did all this, so everyone just go back to the way it was. And I guess it also gives them an opportunity to correct things, like in case, you know, they want to move people and go, yeah, well, you know, that's how it is now. I don't know. It seems like they're trying to get stuff in order and at the same time keeping it in flux. Like, Aleister Black was supposed to be SmackDown, right?
Yeah, he is. Okay. He is SmackDown.
Oh yeah, that's right, because they split him in Ricochet. That's right. But yet, the New Day. Yeah, they were SmackDown. That's right. I'm trying to remember who the hell else. Oh, Drew McIntyre was showing up on both shows all the time. And I think this was the first week he wasn't on SmackDown, right?
No, he has definitely been downplayed a lot since Extreme Rules. I mean, he was chosen to be last week the sacrificial lamb for Kevin Owens to get a win before SummerSlam. And, you know, his feud with Cedric Alexander is it's pretty much a go nowhere type of deal. So,
I just hate the fact that Cedric Alexander got yanked out of 205 Live, and basically, like, no, there's no story to him. It's like, oh, this is Cedric Alexander. Well, who the hell is Cedric Alexander? Like, there's literally been nothing to explain who he is, I've been bitching about this forever, but just because, all right, because think about what we know about Cedric Alexander. If you only watch Raw and don't watch 205 Live, okay? This is the doofus that dressed as the janitor and lost the match.
Yeah.
Yeah, folks, that's it. And now he upsets Drew McIntyre with a roll-up, and he gets destroyed by him the next week. So it's like, okay, so? And hey, Drew McIntyre versus Cedric Alexander again. Okay. I mean, he might as well be SD Jones for all we know. Can you remember the last time do you remember as a kid seeing an SD Jones promo?
No.
Yeah, he did them. They weren't very good. But, yeah, it just. I'm partial to Cedric Alexander, too, because he's from around here. And getting to see him, like, go up the ranks and knowing how talented the guy is and just being fucking wasted. So, whatever. Yeah.
Well, on the same wavelength as, well, who the hell is Cedric Alexander? Well, what do you think the majority of the viewers of SmackDown felt tonight when they saw Roman Reigns confront this guy they've never seen before?
I'm with you. Yeah. All right. I guess in that case, at least he's, like, just confronting one guy. And it's, I mean, unless it turns into, like, a string of things, but I don't think it's going to. But you know what I mean? Like, we're not getting multiple matches with, or, yeah, I guess it would be multiple matches, but we're not getting match after match so far with Buddy and Roman. I guess it's a little different, because Buddy Murphy didn't dress up as, you know, whatever, and cost Roman a fucking match. So there's that. I guess. I don't know. I'm not as down on WWE as I'm making myself sound, by the way.
No. I think things have definitely gotten better. And,
well, it just seems like a bitching the entire time. That's not the intent.
Yeah, so. No. Both shows, I think, have been better. Raw has been amazingly better. I think there's been a... I mean, if it was Heyman who finally talked Vince down from the ledge about this whole no action during commercial breaks, so we're going to do a bunch of 2 out of 3 falls and elimination matches, the man deserves a medal for that. Although they did do an elimination match on Raw, but it made sense. It was for a title.
Okay. Let's talk about it. Whenever we do a show together, we go all over the place and talk about stuff that doesn't matter. But we'll do it anyways again. The Iconics, all right, I'm not the biggest fan, but damn, they were the first, like, in their one of two title defenses that made TV, if I remember correctly, that they lose, they're the first ones eliminated? Like, whoa, I would have, like, if you were trying to give them any credibility, which I don't think that was the case, to be honest.
No, I think... You know, it's because it's way through the thinking, why the hell did they even win the titles at WrestleMania in the first place? It's just, I mean, they immediately cooled on them, and now you know, after all the things that, you know, they did, you know, backstage, you know, with the single camera and the stuff that made it online, and, you know, everything they did to get themselves over that never made TV, and they were just, you know, they were just dropped.
Yeah.
I mean, it felt like something of a burial. It felt like a, I don't know if it's a, you know, totally a you know, send them back down to NXT type situation, but it felt like, you know, that they're out of the plans.
And I don't, listen, they're not the greatest, all right? You're not going to get an argument from me. I remember Peyton Royce being a lot better when she was in NXT and seeing her, like, at a house show. We went to an NXT show here, and she was on the card. I can't remember. She might have been going against Ember now. Oh, man, I hate when I do that, but who she was in? Oh, it was Asuka. Yeah, it was before Asuka won the title. So she was fighting Asuka, and you're like, okay. And she had red hair. She was dressed like Poison Ivy from Batman. She had a cool look. She came out with the rose and all this stuff. It's like, oh, all right, this woman's got it going. Good match. And then you see her now, and it's like, well, what happened? Because personality-wise, they're annoying as hell, which they're supposed to be, so I got no problem with that. But then in the in-ring work, not as good anymore. And Billie Kay, to me, has never been good.
No, Billie Kay is pretty bad. I mean, she's not Velvet Sky bad, but she's close. And their act being such a close proximity to the Beautiful People act of a decade ago is, you know, it brings up that comparison. And you know, yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, Billie Kay's not good at all. She may be the worst worker on the main roster.
Hmm.
There's probably a case to be made for that. And but Peyton, yeah, no, you're right. And you know, when she did more single stuff and in NXT and, you know, was in the title mix. I mean, because even then, you know, they knew she was the worker of the two of them. But yeah, she hasn't been very good either. I mean, I was still the better of the two, but yeah, it's been a weird thing with them. And you know, it was weird that they got the win at WrestleMania. It was weird that they even made it in the match over a number of other teams.
Yeah, how they were
they were high on them for like a month, basically.
Okay, I'm going to ask you, were they high on them? Because even after winning, I mean, they were barely seen.
Yeah.
And when they were seen, they weren't doing anything of any substance. So, yeah, the WrestleMania win is still the confusing one because it didn't make any sense. Like, Bayley now is the women's champion. So, okay, okay, I see it. If that was a plan, I don't think that was a plan.
No.
But, yeah, it didn't make any sense. And, like, this tag team title reign didn't do anything for them.
No, it didn't. It did not at all do anything for them or the belts. I mean, at least since they love Alexa Bliss, at least the belts will be on TV every week. So, I mean, that's a positive for it. And, you know, you can put the Kabuki Warriors in the... It's still in the hunt instead of just having them win. So, you know, I think in the end that will be fine. But yeah, no. I mean, as far as the Iconics are concerned, I mean, it feels like, you know, they're done other than, you know, pure comedy.
Which is too bad because, I mean, they could offer something, but I don't know. I don't see a place from, like, I always know how this sounds, but this idea, like, the Charlotte Trish Stratus stuff really bugged me because of how silly it is. And, what the fuck was that? I'm hoping that's fireworks. Jesus. Hang on, I'm all paranoid now, so let me look up the weather, see what the weather map shows. But, well, no, because, all right, so Charlotte's out there talking about Trish Fast. Like, oh, you just, so as soon as the women's division's at its peak, you all of a sudden want to show back up. And I'm going, this is the peak? Because there's, like, no actual women's feuds going on. Like, Charlotte didn't have anything, so they got Trish Stratus. Bayley has something going on with Alexa Bliss and Ember Moon at the same time, even though Alexa was on another show. And then you've got Becky and Natalya. Is there another Raw feud for the women I'm forgetting about?
No, you're not at all. And they did the four-way for the tag titles on Raw, so they could, you know, trim down SummerSlam.
And I'm guessing that's why Aleister Black and Sammy was on today?
Yeah. I would say so, yeah. No, and you know what? Good call.
I actually was taking a shower during that, so I missed that match. What happened?
Yeah. What? Oh, what happened? Yeah. Oh, Aleister Black just beat him clean with the, what's it called? The black mask.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That's how the match would have gone Sunday. I mean, so they're down to what? 9, 10, 11 matches then, including the two or three that'll end up on the kickoff?
Holy God. I'm pretty focused on NXT right now.
It could have been up to 15.
I haven't even paid attention. Oh, I got to warn my buddy. My buddy Frazier comes over for the big pay-per-views. So, like, WrestleMania was a chore for him, so we're going to have to...
Well, it looks like they're setting this one up to at least end by 11 Eastern, with the matches they're cutting.
So what's it start at 3 Eastern?
I think the kickoff starts at 5 Eastern. I don't know how many matches are going
to start. Are you kidding? Really? All right, I was going to say 5, and I was like, nah, exaggerate a little bit more. Wow. All right. And, I mean, I don't know why I'm surprised that it's starting early, you know? I mean, it has. But all right.
I don't count the kickoff because I barely watch it. You know,
that's
it
true.
Might be on for background noise. I don't count it. And yes, most of the pay per views this year have gone the full 4 hours. So as long as it doesn't go closer to 5, I think I'll be okay.
Well, technically, if it's 5 and then
I just said I don't count the kickoff.
Oh, okay. Oh, so no midnight.
Because I'm probably, I mean, since they took off Renee off the kickoff panels and put her on commentary, and now they're hosted by Coach. Like, I have absolutely no time for them. So
yeah,
maybe I'll tune in time for the Cruiserweight match. Even though I don't really care all that much about it. So, I don't know. I might turn it on about 6:30.
Who is the Cruiserweight match? Gulak and...
I think they're deciding it tonight, but it looks like they're building up Oney Lorcan.
Okay, that's fine. I
like both of them, so maybe I would. I mean, it depends on how many matches they throw on there. Although they, you know, they were definitely cutting the what would have been the bottom part of the card. So I don't even know what's going to end up on the kickoff, actually.
Well,
other than the Cruiserweight match.
Yeah, I think we all know it's going to be Cruiserweights. I'm trying to think. Yeah. Well, New Day doesn't have a match, do they?
No. New Day doesn't have a match, and neither do Anderson and Gallows. So there are no tag matches on this show at all.
You know what? I'm actually okay with that.
I am okay because they didn't do anything. They didn't set anything up. Maybe they can throw a champions versus champions non-title match on the kickoff or something to have guys all on there or something. But other than that, yeah, they didn't really. The build for this show has just been really weird. They've waited to the last week to build up quite a bit. And of course, there was that one that episode of Raw that was completely wasted on the Raw reunion, where nothing moved forward. And you know, they didn't have Goldberg show up to this week for that match, and Roman Reigns' match at SummerSlam is still not official, even after SmackDown went off the air.
Well, that's true. I guess that can be one of those general manager interruptus things. Oh, wait, they don't have those anymore, do they? Never mind.
No, it's still Shane who... Why did they even bring up the idea that Shane would leave if he lost? And then
I'm with you, man. I didn't understand that either, because I thought it was going to be like, yeah, of course I can beat you, so of course I'll do it. Like, okay, cool. And no, it just, he beats the shit out of Kevin Owens, and that was it. Like,
and Kevin Owens gets nothing if he wins, and he can lose everything if he loses, but of course he'll win and gain nothing, and Shane will be back on the show next week. Yay. I mean, Shane, before Raw and SmackDown move forward, Shane needs to go.
Which it almost seems like, because remember there was the big push, or not push, excuse me, the big rumor that Shane was going to be the one to end Kofi's streak and all that stuff?
Yeah, they're going to go all the way with Shane, you know, being champion, and maybe losing to Roman Reigns or something like that. Yeah.
I would prefer that than this.
I do too.
I know it's very unpopular to say that. I get it. But if you're going to go storyline-wise...
I don't think it's that unpopular because Roman Reigns isn't that unpopular, and I mean, I think people are resigned to the fact that Kofi's title reign isn't going to last forever. It's been incredible that it's lasted as long as it has, and he's done as well as he has.
Okay, so since we're on Kofi, you think Randy Orton's the one that wins? Doesn't it seem like it shouldn't? Like, they're almost doing a redemption thing, which is really no redemption there, but...
Yeah, I you know what? I think they can do it. They could possibly do a deal where, because keep in mind, right after SummerSlam, they're premiering that 24 episode where Kofi went back to Ghana with the title. His big homecoming. It also might be one of the reasons why they're cutting the show down, because they went to great expense to do this, and they're probably pretty proud of the documentary, and if it airs after midnight, no one's going to watch it.
That's true.
And, it'd be weird to, right after the show where Kofi loses the title, we're treated to a documentary where he's all over it, carrying the title so proudly. So I'm not necessarily saying that that's a spoiler, but I wouldn't have him lose the title before that debut.
And also, well, okay, so there's that part of it, but also, like, the entire story is built on how Randy kept him down. Randy said he wasn't good enough. Randy did this. You can't possibly turn around and have Randy beat him. Right? I mean, this is one of those matches where I'm like, the ending to this is so goddamn obvious, but it has to be at the same time. Like, Kofi has to beat him. He's got to get the, I guess, comeuppance? I guess that's what it'd be?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I agree. I think Kofi should lose this match. I mean, should win this match. Yeah, I do think Kofi should win. I mean, they could always do an attack afterward or on SmackDown and, to keep the feud going if that's what they want, if they don't really have anyone else to challenge Kofi.
Yes, all right, so let's look at SmackDown then. You had Daniel Bryan, I guess, could have. That's not where they're going. Who the hell is on SmackDown to challenge him? Because the heels are all tied up. Or now faces. Like, who are the heels on SmackDown? Wow.
Trying to think. I mean, he's. I mean, once again, I mean, he. Kofi's had a good run where he's beaten everyone. They put in front of him already. I throw some names out there, but I'm trying to think of people who Kofi hasn't beaten yet.
Well, yeah, I'm also just trying to think of just straight up heels. I know there's Buddy Murphy. You could use him if you wanted. Yeah, man, I don't know.
I mean, unless you go through with a turn from Biggie or, well, I want to say Xavier, Biggie.
Biggie seems like the most logical one to turn in every single time. Anytime that stuff gets mentioned, I'm like, it's got to be Biggie. Because it's just, he looks like he could be a really good bad guy. But I don't think they want to do that, because, I mean, with merch and everything else, they're making money off of those guys like gangbusters.
Yeah. So no. I don't necessarily see that. So no. I guess, you know, I guess you probably would just, you know, until you can set something new up, you know, continue with the Orton feud for another pay-per-view or two. Oof. Yeah, I mean, it should be a good match.
That means Clash of Champions. I'm getting Orton versus Kofi again, man. Yeah. So I got a personal stake in this one, I just realized. So we need to find some goddamn heels for Kofi, because I don't want to be watching the same matches again. Man, I didn't think of that.
I mean, shit, if it's Clash of Champions, yeah. I guess we can also now transition that to, is Seth Rollins really gonna beat Brock Lesnar?
He has to, right?
I guess he does. I mean, but man, it just he should not. It's so less believable than even it normally would be. He has gotten the shit kicked out of him. It's not even supposed to be an anything goes type man. I guess they could throw that out there between now and then.
Well, it wasn't the last time when he beat him either.
Well, no. The referee was distracted and when he hit him in the nuts. Yeah, I really liked what they did last week, but I think what they did this week was a little too much for Seth to have to overcome now. That the ribs have been re-injured again.
Okay, what was injured on Seth? And I'm being dead serious, because Elise was watching with me, and she goes, "What's his problem?" And I'm like, "He's hurt." And she goes, "Why is he walking that way then?" I go, "I guess he's using the chair to balance himself." I was like, I couldn't tell. And then he gets in the ring, and I thought it was all fake. Because he does that really fast run up on Brock, and I'm like, oh, he was faking it. All right, I get it. No, just gets caught and makes it look stupid. So, and then made it look stupid, and then get his ass kicked. So it's like, all right, cool. Very, very weird segment, and very weird idea too. Like, the Brock doing all this doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. I guess he's just being a bully, but like, I don't remember them ever having like a fight like this for WrestleMania, or am I just forgetting?
Well, I mean, Brock jumped Seth before the match even started and threw him all around.
Oh, okay.
And then I mean, and after Brock took the briefcase, all they were doing was low blows and chair shots and briefcase and pink and briefcase spots and the curb stomp onto the briefcase. And so I guess that's done enough to piss Brock off this badly.
Yeah, I mean, all right, and I'm not going to say it was justified, but I think you know where I'm coming from. So, yeah, so it was sort of justified, because he said don't get in the ring, and he did it anyways. So, yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean,
dumbass.
The first beating was really visually spectacular, and you know, with the F5s on the seated chair, and then the thing on the F5 onto the legs of the stretcher, which really looked brutal. They didn't even need to have Seth on the show this week in person or going after Brock like that.
Yeah,
because now he's so injured with only 6 days left. It's just, you know, what kind of match can they have? how can Seth, who who of course this week did another one of his, you know, really really great media interviews where he talked about intergender wrestling not being believable.
It's not, so he's right.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's not.
But is Seth Rollins beating Brock Lesnar believable in any way, shape, or form, especially with broken ribs?
Right now, it sure as hell isn't, no. So, yeah, but intergender wrestling would be believable if they're the same size. Intergender wrestling between Brian Cage and Tessa Blanchard? No. No. Not a goddamn chance is that believable. Sorry, I know we're supposed to say that it is. It's not. So, doesn't matter how good of a wrestler you are, it just, the aesthetics don't match up, and that's what this business is all aesthetics. So, anyways, and people would argue all they want, doesn't matter. So, stunned
him. I'm not
going to
argue with you on my
business. Oh, okay, I was like, I stunned him. So, yeah. It's like, alright, and this isn't the same parallel, but when you watched Zach Gowen, did you sit there and go, oh yeah, this makes sense? No. Like the guy with no legs who I don't know his name, alright? So I'm not trying to be disrespectful. But come on. No one, I mean, come on. That's why the best part of that over-the-budget battle royal, the second over-the-budget battle royal was great. MJF just kicks the guy. It's like, yeah, like, this is stupid. And just keeps beating on the guy and leaves him in the corner. So, yeah. That, I mean, I guess I was making the parallel between that and intergender wrestling, but, you know. Hey, I'm also like, not everything's for me. And I understand that, so. Anyways. Yeah, but getting back to Seth. Seth? Who's that? Seth. All right, cool. I was his middle name and first name together. Yeah, if he wins, it's got to be by some ridiculousness. Which then makes him look weak, and then makes him look kind of silly. And then, you know what? Goddamn bad guy. Enough.
Yeah, nice. I mean, if he loses this match, I guess you have to go with the heel turn. But okay. If he wins this match and stays a babyface, what the hell does he face? Do they try to re-heat McIntyre? Turn Braun heel? What is there to do for Seth at this point?
McIntyre wouldn't be that bad.
Nah, I mean, but he's definitely been damaged.
Oh, yeah. He should have never lost. And I know there's no way they were going to have Roman lose in his return match. He should have never lost. He's one of the only guys that actually stands out. And I know we talked a long time ago about him being a face in NXT was just weird. And it didn't really make sense. And we were right. Him as a heel is so much better.
Yeah. He was on the fast track. Even Dolph Ziggler wasn't that much of a handicap for him. They made that work. But then came the Triangle of Terror with McIntyre, Corbin, and Lashley. That just... I mean, even Corbin deserved better than that, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't... Let's not go that far. So... I am partially joking with Corbin, but honestly, it's... I don't see anything in the guy, so...
Right, no, I agree.
And, like, is that stuff, those rumors and shit true about, like, they have whatever survey studies where women, like, really like Baron Corbin? I always figured that was crap, but, my God.
I think that survey might only be in Vince McMahon's head.
Well, let's hope.
But unless he's injured, they have been, you know, talked down from continuing his push after Extreme Rules, just to, you know, get him off TV for a while and figure out something to do with him.
Yeah, well, I think what they're doing with him now is fine. So, honestly, if he comes back down the road, fine. But, I mean, how he's been pushed down our throats. Like, people complain about Roman Reigns and John Cena, right? Cena at least had something. Roman, he still has something if they just get out of his way. Like, this earnest interview thing didn't do it for me. And then, you know, I kind of dug him coming into the locker room, or everyone out. I'm like, no, fuck you. I ain't leaving. But anyways, but with Corbin, I don't see any of that. So, anyways, there's more time than everyone spent on Baron Corbin. So, a few things I did like on Raw. I like the OC. I like the fact that Luke Gallows is painting his face again. I always thought that was a good way to, like, make him look a little more sinister. Because I know he's, like, the jovial dude and all that. He does look pretty sinister when he wants to be a bad guy.
Yeah, so. No. I like that. I like, you know, what they're doing with the OC. I like, yeah, I mean, cool, you know.
They
signed their deals and they're getting a renewed. They got a raise and a renewed push, so you know, good for them. Sucks for the Revival. In enjoy your one match where you jab to the Young Bucks, I guess.
Well, if that even happens, that's well, because their deal's not up till next year, right? Or is it? Or no,
I think so. I mean, but AEW does have their first TV set up as a six man with mystery partners and.
Okay, look, you can't say that wouldn't be cool.
It would be cool. It would be cool. I mean, you know what? I maybe I've been being a little more cynical, a little more facetious than I need to be, because as long as the Young Bucks are wrestling in AEW, tag team wrestling is going to be a main event act. So
what do they have? Four teams?
No.
That, I'm sorry. That didn't mean to sound that way. I was a legit question.
I think they have what seven or eight teams maybe.
Because they got Private Party, Luchasaurus, and Jungle Boy. You forgot SCU. Forgot about them.
SCU.
Was it the Darkness? No.
The Dark Order. Which
I don't get that. Terrible. Like, where did they come from?
No one does. What?
Where did they come from? I mean,
I think they're Canadian indie guys who were the Super Smash Brothers, I think. But they can't use that name for obvious reasons.
Ooh, so they went with a Dark Order, huh?
Yeah. And then got Chuck Taylor and...
Oh, yeah, the Best Friends.
As the Best Friends, Lucha Brothers, Bucks.
Now, are the Lucha Brothers permanent, though? I thought they were one of those weird deals. This is where I just don't understand the wrestling business, to where, like, the Lucha Bros were in MLW, now they're in AEW, and AAA? Right?
And yeah.
Moxley's in AEW and New Japan, and this, and it's like, okay, what? I miss the boring old days where you just stay where the fuck you were. I don't feel it's bad. I mean, it's good for me, though, because I can see him against different people, but jeez. So, whatever. But, well, on the AEW topic, I know we've been all over the place. Doesn't matter. So, we got DC that sold out, which I know they're saying that they were surprised, but I don't think that was really much of a surprise to anybody.
No, not for the first episode.
And then the second show is Boston, and then the third one is Philly.
But they're using the B arenas in both cities.
Okay, what are the B arenas?
I think it's like more like the college basketball arena than the NBA arena, essentially.
Okay, so that'd be wherever Vanderbilt plays. Not Vanderbilt. Providence?
Villanova,
that's it.
Let me look at the exact name of the arenas. I know the Boston arena is supposed to only seat 7,500 and the Philly arena only seats 10,000. And of course that's, you know, full capacity without factoring in, you know, the entrance set and the things that will cut down on seating for wrestling.
And also you have to wonder if
it's the Agonist Arena.
Okay, Agnes.
2 G's, and Philly is the Lyakoris Center at Temple University.
Oh, okay. Well, what was the name of the other one? I'm sorry.
Agnes Arena.
No, what was the other one?
Lyakoris.
Oh Jesus! How's that? What? Oh, you said Temple, right?
At Temple University. So yes, that's definitely.
There it is. Thank you. Thank you, Google.
It's like I said, it's the college basketball arena and maybe the hockey arena as well.
Well, it's still
No. I mean, they're playing it a little safer, but yes. Still, the Northeast is where you have your most hardcore fans. I mean, they're mining the Northeast for all it's worth in those first few weeks.
I think they know they're going to get the most rabid fans too.
Yeah,
and then also I wondered if WWE's got some sort of, you know, stake in these other places, so they can't
use it's very possible. I mean, the old rule back in the days used to be if they didn't get total exclusivity, it would be like 90 days. You couldn't host another a WCW show.
Yeah.
Something like that. So yeah, maybe they are locked out of some of the bigger arenas. Yeah.
But I think it's smart to go small though, because the last thing you want is to see how small everything looks.
Yeah.
How many seats aren't full? Like that'd be a horrible visual. And I think it's a smart idea for these markets. I mean, you're not going to North Dakota for your third show, you know.
No. I mean, eventually, they'll have to head more west. I mean, but obviously they're doing Chicago for a pay-per-view in the end of August, so you really don't want to go back to Chicago for a little while. I'm trying to think, where's good arenas for them? Detroit would probably be good.
Where could they go in Detroit, though? Well, LCA is big.
LCA is big. Well, I guess they would have to. They'd have to run there because there's nowhere else.
Wait,
there's not a lot of mid-size arenas around these parts. There really is not.
I was gonna say, what about Wayne State? And that's Detroit proper.
You know what? No one has ever run wrestling at Wayne State. I wonder if they just don't allow it.
I wonder if it's that small. That's why.
It's pretty small. I think it's only like it's a 7,000 seat, which would be fine for AEW's television. I mean, WWE has run some smaller arenas in different cities in Michigan, like Saginaw or Ypsilanti or Grand Rapids or Kalamazoo. So maybe those would be places that AEW could use if they don't.
Yeah, well, Wayne State only holds 3,000 fans.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay, that's not happening. So,
yeah, no, that's probably too small. So, I guess if WWE doesn't have any kind of an exclusive arrangement with LCA, even though WWE doesn't really come to Detroit more than 4 times a year.
You got Chrysler Center, or Chrysler Center, Michigan. They're 13,000. Breslin Center for State is 15,000. That's Purdue. Who gives a shit? I was looking for Michigan.
Well, yeah. Well, WWE runs East Lansing. They run Kalamazoo. They could do that, or they could shoot their shot for LCA.
LCA would have to be. I especially think just being up there, it would have to be something special. It'd have to be a pay per view.
Yeah,
something like that.
I'd certainly be into that, as far as cities that you could go, they could run in, Dallas, somewhere in Southern California, Northern California would probably be good for them. I mean, you want to stay away. I mean, WWE will run like the Midwest and the Plain States because they're WWE. AEW needs to stay the hell away from there. Maybe the Deep South as well might not be a good idea, at least until they're pretty established.
Yeah, so they have options then.
Yeah.
Yeah, because even Columbus, you got, if you want to go to Columbus, you've got a bunch of arenas there.
Yeah, yeah. So. Columbus is like this weird, you know, this kind of weird, like, mid-sized city that just has, like, everything. like Detroit does not have the greatest options for, no. You know, for small, medium, and big, you know, large-scale events. But Columbus, you got, like three or four big buildings and no professional sports teams? Like, or one professional sports team, I should say?
Yeah, two. They have the Crew, and they have the Blue Jackets.
I don't count soccer.
Okay, Kevin and I were just talking about this. You kind of stopped being one of those people, man. We just watched a game between Atlanta and
somebody.
72,000 people watched that game in attendance. So
good. But so, I don't think anyone's ever tried wrestling in a soccer arena before.
Well, no, because it's outdoors.
Yeah. I was just twisting the knife with Kevin a little bit.
That wouldn't happen. So, I mean, yeah. No. All right, smartass. So if they have a WrestleMania in Atlanta, guess what? They just had a WrestleMania in a soccer stadium.
Really? They turned the Georgia Dome into a soccer stadium?
No, they're playing in the new one, in the new Mercedes-Benz one.
Oh, Mercedes-Benz, that's right.
Yeah, that brand new one, so yeah.
Oh, wait, so, wow.
Yes.
Really? Because I've never thought that, I always kind of thought that, like, the dimensions for, like, football and soccer that they need are different, so that they can't share the same stadium.
Oh, no, that's easy.
Okay.
So, yeah. So
that's what I know.
I know, like, most soccer games get about 30,000 people, if like, they're real popular. So when I saw that it was 72,000, I was blown away. I mean,
no, that's impressive.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, okay. So, anyways, real quick to wrap up. So this weekend is not just about SummerSlam. We also have Evolve has a show on Thursday. And some of the NXT women are going to be there. I know Tony Storm's wrestling. Or is it Progress? Maybe it's Progress. Sorry. Anyways, NXT is Saturday. And again, like I said, we're going to come back to this. That's why we're on the show. I'm thinking Adam Cole wins.
I do, too. I think that you have Adam Cole go over, you know, in three falls. We still don't even know what the third stipulation is going to be that Regal is going to choose.
I saw this on Reddit, and I like the idea. What about a loser leaves?
They could do that.
And then Johnny goes up to the main roster, and then we can talk about that on a different show. But that way, problem solved. And then if Ciampa is able to come back, which I don't think, you know, they released that third part of his thing today, but that's not guaranteed he's coming back. But then, right then, I mean, you've got what? Cole and Ciampa are just perfectly made. So.
Yeah. That absolutely would. Yeah, that'd be a perfect deal. I mean, that's almost something you wait and build to the WrestleMania weekend takeover. Then again, I don't know how long you want to keep Ciampa in NXT since they were already building up for him to go to the main roster anyway.
Yeah, plus
he got hurt.
Yeah, well, plus with that, and then also his age, it's probably not a bad idea to see if we can get off on the main roster. So,
yeah.
One thing I was talking to Kevin about this, I didn't get a chance to talk about it in any sort of form. Actually, went to NXT here in Concord, and they need to put a lot of money into Matt Riddle. One, and I know what he's doing on Twitter and all that, whatever. That dude's a star.
Oh, he absolutely and is. I mean,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He absolutely is, and again, it's just, you know, the only thing that might stand in the way of him in stardom is himself. He makes political enemies, but other than that, no. The guy is, I mean, the guy is money. He's him and Velveteen Dream are the two acts that should go up to the main roster and be huge difference makers. Okay. I mean, I could see Gargano being just the guy.
Yeah. Same with Ciampa, to be honest. Yeah.
Same with Ciampa. Yeah. 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 No, I mean, it's taken very special niche booking to make Ciampa and Gargano what they are on at the NXT level. Main roster, they'd actually be best off just reforming their tag team, honestly.
Yes. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Because you'd almost think that there's probably a pressure with them to try and redo the magic of their feud in WWE. Like they'd try and just be like, ugh, don't. It's just time for something new, I guess. But so there's that observation. And Riddle is facing, it's Pete Dunne.
Yeah.
Who the hell is Riddle faced on the card? Oh, Killian Dane, that's right.
But that match may not be on the card. Because they're already at 5 or 6 matches.
I'd be okay, especially with a 2 out of 3 falls match, too, with actual big steps. So, yeah. I'd be okay with that.
It's Velveteen Dream, Roderick Strong, and Pete Dunne in a triple threat.
Which should be fucking incredible, because we saw... That's a good one. We saw Velveteen and Roderick at NXT, like, which was weird. And that was great, just the two of them. Oh, and as you said, Velveteen, everyone knows that guy's going to be big news. I mean, he's in the WWE commercial.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, and the crowd was just eating him alive, too, or eating him up, I should say. Killian Dane is the new Lars Sullivan. They lost him, and that's what he is now. It was much clearer at the house show we went to than it is on TV, but that's going to be the role he fits. And he's a better talker than he is, probably a better wrestler, too, but he doesn't have, like, the freakish looks. And hopefully the baggage. That'd be nice, too.
Yeah, no, that'd be very nice, yeah. They can finally kick Lars Sullivan out the damn door and... And push somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can't right now. He's hurt. So.
Yeah. You gotta wait.
Now, here's the one I'm real curious about: Shayna Baszler and Mia Yim.
Yeah. This is a very interesting one to me because, you know, the Mia Yim push is. I mean, they've been doing, you know, working steadily with her, but you know, this push has been kind of coming out of nowhere, and she has been assaulting Jessamine and Marina unprovoked. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
So, that pushes... I mean, it's beyond time for Shayna to go up to the main roster.
I didn't realize she was almost 40 years old.
I heard that she was in mid to late 30s, yeah.
She's 37.
So, well, that's not that close to the 40.
It's closer than being 30.
That is true.
So...
Yeah, no. I'm 36, so I get it. I feel that too.
I'm 45, so yeah, I know.
No, of course you do. Yeah, right. But yeah, no. As I said, it's definitely time for. It's been time for Shayna to go up. But yeah, Mia Yim in NXT has been, let's run down. You know, Shayna has just. You know, been running through everybody. I mean, she traded the belt with Kairi Sane, but then she, you know, got it back and then, you know, beat her again convincingly and then beat Bianca Belair, who seemed like was going to be the next big thing. She beat Io Shirai twice. And now it's Mia Yim. And, you know, Mia Yim is, because with the women, for the most part, are, you know, maybe they, like Shayna, they have little, you know, indie experience, but for the most part, they're, you know, they cut their teeth at the performance center. While Mia Yim is, she's more like the guy's story, where you know she's been you know, running the indies hard for 10 years.
Yeah, and Impact, yeah,
yeah. Well, I.
Oh, sorry, you're counting.
I barely remember that one. That's right. I'm like, yeah, that's right, the doll. What? It was a smart ass. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, the dollhouse. I do remember that. I actually kind of like the dolls.
I don't remember who the hell was in the dollhouse.
It was her, Taryn Terrell, and Marty Bell? Wasn't,
oh, that's
wasn't,
right. Cause, yeah, because in the Mae Young Classic, it was Mia versus Marty, right? And it, that was the one where they changed the outcome mid-match, if I remember. The original Mae Young Classic.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's again, so it's kind of that, you know, after Shane, the run Shane has had, that, Mia Yim, who just doesn't seem like, the one who should have been picked. I mean, I like Mia Yim, but it's just, after having Shayna, Dust, Kairi, Bianca, and Io, and it just feels weird for it to be Mia.
Well, if not Mia, then who could they have used? And I'm not even trying to be a smartass, just...
I guess the only one left would be Candice LeRae.
Yeah, but she... I understand because it's part of the story, but she really took a backseat to wrestling for a while.
She definitely did.
And I was trying to figure out if she was hurt or...
Yeah, no. I mean, they were she was absolutely being used as a prop in the Ciampa Gargano food, yeah. And she's finally got her own story, and hell... There's finally going to be a second women's match on a takeover for the first time since, what, in 4 years or something like that?
Yeah. Well. Oh, yeah, because it's her and Io, isn't it? All right.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing Io wins that one, because why would you ever lose?
So then I guess you could run with Io and Mia Yim next, then, if Mia Yim was the title. I just imagine that could happen. And then, you still keep Bianca Belair in the mix. You keep Candice in the mix. Unless they like really high on Bianca Belair and just want her to bring her up to the main roster.
I'll tell you what, when we were at the house show, Mia and Bianca tagged up. Bianca was like the afterthought. Like, people cheered for her, don't get me wrong. But it was everything was crafted about Mia the entire time. And I thought it was weird. It's like, Bianca was the big shit, man. I mean, my God, she was doing this. She was still doing the "I'm undefeated," all that garbage, and yeah, it was like she was just playing second string the whole time. And I told this to Kevin, I told this to Shahid, and whoever will listen. Rhea Ripley is gorgeous. She was at the event, and she like did her. She got up and. We were second row, and we were facing the side that they were playing to, so we got very lucky. And they had their lighting and all this stuff, and I was just dumb. I was just dumbstruck. And Frazier, my buddy, was with me. He was just mouth wide open. Like, she's a pretty woman on TV, and I don't know if they changed some of her look or what they've done. She looked insane. And yes, I know it's not all about looks, but you know what? Yeah, she's a beautiful ass woman. I don't care. So, and then I wasn't too familiar with Reina Gonzalez, Rhea Gonzalez.
I've seen her. I can't even picture. I've heard the name. I know. I've seen her, but I'm drawing a blank as to her face.
She's
right
pretty
now.
Good though. She's pretty good.
Okay.
So she was one had like the bull rope. Whoa! What the hell's wrong with me? I don't think someone's slowing down. She had like the bull rope and all that stuff. So. No, like, the house show made me more jazzed up for NXT, because it's been kind of, not in a rut, but, creatively hasn't been where it usually is, and the fact I saw, like, a rumor that they were looking at Riddick Moss and were very high on him, and I went, alright, what other indie stars can they steal, because that guy's had enough, so... But, I'm thinking Baszler loses, Gargano loses, and we're gonna see him on Raw or SmackDown. Not that they use all the women correctly anyways, but it just seems like it's time for her.
Yeah.
There's no point in her being there.
Right. Yeah, no, she would be a good opponent for Becky or Bayley. Yeah. And they both need new opponents. Obviously, with what they've got coming up at SummerSlam, they need better opponents, without a doubt.
Yep. On that note, let's get out of here. Yeah, we've been going hour 15. So, everyone, thanks for listening. She and I posted our review of Hobbs and Shaw, so go back and check out we watched stuff from this week and in the archives if you want. I've been listening to a lot of those Conrad podcasts. Yeah, so that's that. Stunkran on social media. Look for audio updates, that sort of stuff on iTunes. And I'll let Chris take us out.
All right, everybody. Rate and review us on iTunes. Please, 5-star rating would help out a lot. We will be back next week. At least, well, two of us will, for our SummerSlam weekend wrap-up, covering NXT, SummerSlam, Raw, and SmackDown. Later.